This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Odyssey Sports presents Big Time Baseball with former major leaguer Tony Gwynn Jr. and Odyssey insider Cody Decker.
We roll into another week of Big Time Baseball. Welcome in once again. I'm your host, Tony Gwynn Jr., along with my co-host, Cody Decker. And Cody, we're getting into June, man. This is a time of year where teams start to harden a little bit. You start to know who these teams really are. First, before we get into the baseball stuff, let's start with kind of the business of baseball, the Orioles. A little feud going on between the two brothers, John and Lewis Angelos. And, you know, Lewis is claiming that John, who is the, the decision maker for the ball club now, is going to move his team to Nashville. This comes from Mrs. Angelos, who had to, you know, sign, who's the one who put them in charge, not leaving kind of Lewis outside. He seems a little upset about it and is claiming that the team is going to move a franchise that is historic in the city of Baltimore. However, John says that that's not the case. What's your take on this?
One, I can't imagine it being the case. I think we can all agree that baseball is eventually going to come to Nashville. They have a AAA team there right now. They draw exceedingly well. It's a major market, and that city does deserve a major league team. So does Baltimore. That team has been there for 50 years, and let's not mince words here. The reason why baseball stadiums are as cool as they are is because of Camden Yards.
Yeah.
Period. Yeah. That was the beginning of what we now know as the modern baseball stadium. I can't imagine Camden Yards not being a part of Major League Baseball. I can't imagine the Orioles moving anytime soon, if ever. One, they have a lease with the city, so it's not like they can just break it at any given moment. And, it's not – I just don't think it's reasonable. It seems like a kind of out of left field thing. Baltimore Orioles to just pick up and move. So the immediate response was pretty fascinating. What is happening in Baltimore right now? God, I have no idea, man. This is a family feud that is taking place in public. It's Succession, but real. I love it.
Yeah, my read of it, I read a little bit of the lawsuit that's been put out by Lewis. It seems like he's a little disgruntled that mom didn't put him in charge. And he's trying to connect the dots that because John's wife has family in Nashville, that all of a sudden he's going to move the team from Baltimore to Nashville. There are so many things that are tied in with this in terms of TV rights and things of that nature that don't make this very easy to pull off, even if he wanted to. But, of course, John Angelos poured cold water on it yesterday when he basically came out and said, we have no intention of moving. They just built a new practice facility out there, which – he says means they're not going anywhere anytime soon. So we'll move on from the business part, get into the baseball part. Cody, you and I have been talking about it was only a matter of time. Braves have run off 12 in a row. This team is now starting to close the gap a little bit on the New York Mets. This is the Braves team I think we both thought we'd see from the beginning. But nevertheless, here we are in June. They're starting to play well.
I'm not going to lie. I'm having a mini panic attack about the Mets right now. I want this team in the playoffs more than I think I want anything in the world. I think there's only two teams I'm just almost breaking body parts to root for, and that is the Mets and the Mariners. And we all know how it's going in Seattle at the moment. And the Mets are just, no matter what, this team knows how to get hurt. I need DeGrom back. I need Scherzer back. McGill came back. That's good news. And luckily, the team is still swinging the bat well and playing well. But Marte goes down. We saw Pete Alonso come out of a game last week. man, I need the Mets not to be snake bitten. And watching this Braves team go on a juggernaut run the way they are, not to mention the Phillies going on the run they're going right now. And another team in the East that I feel like gets no love, that deserves some love, dude, the Marlins. They are a sneaky good team with that pitching staff. But yeah, you know, the Braves, we knew this was coming. We knew they were going to put these games together. We just didn't know when it was going to happen. And luckily for them, it didn't happen in August this time. This time they started their run in June. And again, this is the better team right now than they were that won the World Series last year.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. We'll start with the Braves. I saw them twice already. I saw them in San Diego. I saw them in Atlanta. And it was clear. The only thing that they were missing was their offense. The guys just, as a unit, hadn't started swinging the bat as a unit. And that hurt them. They had plenty good enough pitching, but they just weren't hitting. Now they're starting to hit and starting to score runs in abundance. However, they do lose Ozzie Albies for about 5-6 weeks. He broke his foot in yesterday's game. So that'll hurt a little bit. But that offense is starting to roll. And I agree with you on the Marlins. I've been saying that since I saw them earlier this year. Their pitching staff is as good as any pitching staff in the league. And that is not an exaggeration. These guys can throw it. I mean, Alcantara is as electric as any pitcher in this league. I mean, he's fallen in love with the four-seam fastball that's about 100. But he also throws a sinker that's about 100. He's got a changeup that moves like a split finger that's about 92. Like, there's nothing fun about, I would think, at least. I've never faced him, but seems like there's nothing fun about getting in the box with them. But the Mets have avoided the offensive injury bug, right? It's all been in their rotation, and they could hold it down because their offense was legit, right? But I saw Marte go down. He went down on a slide, kind of tweaked his quad. He hasn't been in since. Pete Alonso got hit with like a 94-mile-per-hour fastball on the hand. He's had to miss time. So sooner you can get those guys back, the sooner you can stop the bleeding. Because, you know, you might be able to sustain with a legitimate offense with a Pete Alonso and Starlin Marte and Francisco Lindor and, you know, the offensive pieces they have. But you can't sustain that team with those guys, Pete Alonso, Marte, and DeGrom, and Scherzer out. That's going to be too big of a hole to kind of overcome, I would think, Cody.
I would think so, too. And, again, with this division, the way they're starting to play. Now, I think the Phillies aren't real. I'm just going to put it out there again. I do not believe in the Phillies. Their pitching and defense is just not good enough. Their offense, as good as anybody in baseball, especially when they're hot. But I'm not worried about the Phillies. I am very worried about the Braves. The Braves are good, even without Ozzie Albies. Again, this is a team that won the World Series last year without Ronald Acuña Jr. They have Ronald Acuña Jr. Also have a Freddie Freeman clone at first base who happens to be 5 years younger than Freddie Freeman in Olsen. I mean, this is just an unbelievably good team. Not to mention their entire starting staff, Max Fried looking like the Cy Young finalist that he's going to be. Not to mention, you know, everybody. It's a murderer's row.
It's a glut of talent.
Yeah, throw a rock. It hits an all-star. It's tough. I just don't know how you're going to be able to beat them. And I don't know how them. Honestly, I'm looking at this right now. If the Mets don't get healthy, I don't know how they're going to survive the Braves, even though they're only five and a half back is a lot of games. It doesn't feel like a lot of games right now.
No, it doesn't feel like a lot of games. And you're talking about the second half of the season when they get DeGrom and Scherzer back. I mean, 5.5 games can be eaten up in that amount of time if they're not back at some point. So we'll see how it goes. In terms of the Phillies, yes, they've won 10 of 11. Yes, it was right after Joe Girardi got fired. But as you said, Cody, their problems still remain, right? They don't play any D, or I should say they have a hard time playing D. They don't pitch after the starters really well at all. And those problems still remain to be true. And listen, I caution everybody about those 10 of 11 that they won because they beat some teams that, quite frankly, they should beat. I mean, they lost 2 of 3 to the Giants. The last game they won, that started the 9-game streak. They proceeded to play the Angels, who hadn't fired Joe Madden at that time, so they were playing poorly. The Brewers are missing two of their best starting pitching rotation guys in Peralta and Woodward. So
and they're not hitting at
all. And they're not hitting at all. So they played a team that really wasn't at, you know, peak. They got two of three wins against the Diamondbacks. And they beat the Marlins in last night's game. So I don't know that they're necessarily beating up on teams that are like postseason bound, but nevertheless, you give them credit for winning the 10-11. But as you said, I don't believe it's real. Now, on the side of firing managers, right? We've seen Joe Maddon go. We've seen Joe Girardi go. And we've seen their teams at the same time start playing better. What do you think the White Sox are thinking right now?
I know what the White Sox fans are thinking. I know. I'm sure I know what some of the players are thinking. But here's what the end of the day is. What is the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, thinking? Because the owner, Jerry Reinsdorf, only loves one thing, and that is Tony La Russa. When he hired Tony La Russa, we already knew the direct quote saying that firing him was the greatest mistake of his career. You think he's going to go ahead and double down and fire him again? But I don't think he's going to.
I don't think so. I don't think so. They got a ton of problems. They're not healthy. They're not playing well on top of that. And we'll see how this shakes out. I don't think this ends with Tony La Russa being fired.
Me neither. And Tony, there's also the fact, like, there's not – everyone seems to think that firing Tony La Russa is going to be the cure-all. Who's to say it is? Look at the Angels. The Angels aren't playing great with Phil Nevin at the helm. It's just, it's a lofty thing. I'm sure you've been a part of teams where a manager has been fired midseason. I have as well. It can go either way. It truly, truly can. It doesn't mean the manager replacing initial manager isn't perfectly capable and good. It's just, it's a weird dichotomy depending on the team.
Right. There's so many variables that go into winning ball games. When I was in Milwaukee in 08, we fired Ned Yost with like 14 games to go. And we went 7-7 with Dale Swaim as our manager. We snuck into the playoffs, but it wasn't like we went out and like went 14-0 and like everything changed. We just did a little bit better, which allowed us to get into the playoffs, which at the time was the most important thing. But you're right. It doesn't necessarily really, most of the time, it doesn't change a whole lot other than maybe the voice. Now, we talked a little bit about the Cardinals and the Brewers. We've talked about them in the past, and I believe it was you that said they were coming. We both felt like the St. Louis Cardinals were going to be there when it's all said and done. Well, they caught the Brewers. Brewers are a little banged up. They're not hitting. Cardinals are starting to do everything, and they're about to get Jack Flaherty back.
Shopify's already taken the cash register online, helping millions sell billions around the world. But did you know that Shopify can do the same thing at your retail store? Give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify. That's right, Shopify is the sound of selling everywhere, online, in-store, on social media, and beyond. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. With Shopify POS, you can accept credit cards, mobile payments, and every other major payment method, all with low fees and transparent pricing, starting on day one. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/MLB podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/MLB podcast to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/MLB podcast.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. This is the thing that you and I have been seeing on the Brewers all along. We know what their pitching is. But Here's the problem with that pitching. If that pitching gets hurt, what are they left with? Because their offense, again, and I'm going to use this term that I've used ad nauseum all season along, the Brewers' offense is ancient. It is an old, old team. It doesn't mean they're a bad team. It's just we're just a little aged out. And the young players, I do really like Hunter Renfrow. I like Rowdy Tellez. Unfortunately, though, you can't have these two carrying your offense. You need a little bit more. Looking at a guy like Escobar, who's doing so well over there in New York with the Mets right now, thinking what could have been if that guy was still there? Thinking about like a Sterling Marte who's out there, who could have been on this team. I mean, they had so many opportunities to pick up players. I wouldn't be surprised, though, come trade deadline. I'm going to call it right now. Nelly Cruz is going to be a Brewer.
Mm, okay. Listen, they certainly could use the pop in the lineup, especially in that DH spot. Right now, you have kind of a toggle between Yelich and McCutchen doing the DHing.
Which is a problem because Yelich is hitting .220 right. And just hasn't gotten back to any semblance of the MVP caliber player he was.
Let's be honest. That's what the offense really was. He was the heartbeat of that offense. And you notice their offense hasn't been the same really since he hasn't been the same. So it was contingent on that all along. They have some nice young kids. I like Luis Urias in that lineup. He does a good job for that ball club. They're missing Willy Adames right now. He was the piece last year that propelled that offense. He got out of Tampa. He came to Milwaukee. He's been plagued by an ankle injury. So they don't have him, and they don't have the two starters, Peralta and Woodward, in that rotation. It's already going to be a little bit of an issue. So Cardinals are clicking on all cylinders, right?
They are.
They've been coming all along. But, you know, they've got a ton of talent, man. Whether it's Carlson and Bader and O'Neill, I haven't checked in on O'Neill. Is he starting to hit yet?
He's starting to come along. I mean, he was a little banged up, and I know he just got off the IL, right? And now he's kind of starting to put it together. I saw him muscle a ball on Saturday that looked like a broken bat off the end of the bat, and it was a sac fly that was almost robbed for a home run. That guy is ungodly strong.
Strong, dude. He runs like a free safety.
I know, but he's jacked. He's built, dude, he is built like a combination. You know what he's built like? He's built like, I'm trying to think of a good running back that he reminds me of, because he's not a tall dude. He's got to be 5'10", but he's built like a brick shithouse, this guy. The guy looks like a combination of he looks like Ricky Williams.
Yeah, good, yeah, yeah, yeah. Like he's like a bowling ball. He's like a bowling ball. But super athletic. I really enjoy watching. You know,
me too.
I'm an outfield junkie. I like watching those three guys in the outfield. Bader plays balls to the wall the whole time. And, you know, they got a ton of talent, besides the point. And they got the veterans on that team that can kind of guide the ship, right? Wainwright, Molina, Pujols, like the old three, the old band is back together. They're playing really well. And They were the favorites coming in. They're starting to play like the favorites now as they start to get healthy.